What if you could spend 30 minutes with the brightest mind of our age? Man, that would be cool. Well, lower your expectations, people. This is the Mediocrities Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mediocrities Podcast. I'm your host, Mediocrities. This is episode 24. We have recorded a lot of episodes, including the fact that I took this long break. But you know what? Welcome back. We're in Studio T, which is my truck, and we are commuting to work. So welcome. Thanks for joining me on this ride. This is kind of like two buddies having convo on a road trip, you know? Even though it's just a real short road trip. And the way that you can add what's missing is the witty banter, you know? It's your conversation. The way you add your conversation is two ways. One, you can talk out loud while you listen to the show. May frighten the people around you. That's okay. I'm here to tell you that I do that myself. No worries. If you're talking out loud, it's great. It's great. Talk back to me. That's fine. But if you want to talk to me, and you can, I recommend downloading the Anchor podcast app. The Anchor app will let you listen to any number of podcasts, but also will give you the ability to do a couple other things. One, it'll let you respond to polls. Sometimes I'll post polls on the site. It'll let you respond to those, but it'll also let you leave voicemail messages. So you can leave me a voicemail straight from the app, whether you've got your AirPods in like I do, or whether you are just speaking to your phone's built-in microphone. It'll pick it up. It'll capture your voicemail message. You can tell me whatever you want. And I don't really even know what the time limit is. So tell me whatever you want. React to the show. Give me some show ideas. Talk about the stupid drivers that you had on your commute to work today. That would be fine. Love to hear from you. The second way that you can contact me and provide some typewritten witty banter is to email me. And you can email me at mediocritiespodcast@outlook.com, and I always include that in the show notes. So whether you're listening to the show from iTunes, or, well, it's not iTunes anymore, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify, or Stitcher, or any of the other avenues that carry this, I literally submitted it to every single podcast platform I can find. So whatever you're listening to me with, you can find the link to email me in case you forget. So I'd love to hear from you. Lastly, one thing I'd like for you to do, if you are enjoying this show, you know, it's been a while since we've been on the show, and so I kind of fell out of some of the algorithms. It would really help me out a great deal. If you are enjoying the show, or if you say, hey, this ain't too bad, share my show with somebody. That way we can add more people to the conversation. But if you share or like, or if you're on Apple Podcasts, if you add a review and give a star rating to the show, I'm really not even concerned what the star rating is, as long as you leave some feedback. That helps the good people at Apple Podcasts to see that the show is relevant, that people are listening to it, and then they can recommend it to other people that are searching for similar keywords. So some of the keywords might be, you know, parenting or fatherhood or marriage or Catholic or religion or Christianity. You know, we talk about a lot of stuff. Men's issues, women's issues, is whatever. But I'm glad to have you here along for the ride. So episode 24, very apropos, I think, to some things going on today. So I hope you'll stick around for the rest of the episode. I got to run a sponsor bit real quick, and then we'll come right back.
Now it is time to journey deep inside the mind of Mediocrities. Please watch your step and keep your hands and feet inside the ride vehicle at all times.
Hey, welcome back. Yeah, good old commute to work. I'm taking a different route, by the way. I hope that this cuts down on the road noise just a little bit, but now that school is out, there's another pathway that I can take that doesn't drive me through three school zones. So that actually saves me some time. So I'm going to try going this way for a while and see how it does. But that's not the topic for today. I keep skirting around it. Today's episode has to do with being a loser. You looked at today's episode and you said, "What in the world?" Yeah, I'm talking about losing today. Being a loser. Tell you a little bit about myself. When I was in when I was in high school, I wrestled, and it's my favorite sport. In fact, I still consider myself a wrestler. I have a son that wrestled for 13 years, not 12 years, wrestled for 12 years, and I got to coach some of those years, and I enjoyed it. But one of the things that I remember personally about wrestling was just getting in there and, for my first season, getting my butt handed to me on a daily basis in the wrestling room and in competition. And coach would literally throw me to the wolves. I mean, my first match, I still remember my first match, a varsity match I ever got to wrestle, basically happened because it was a throwaway match for him. Win or loss wasn't going to matter, so he wanted to give me some experience on the mat. And so he threw me out there against a guy that I'd never seen before, which I'd never seen anybody before. I'd never wrestled varsity before. So wrestling a guy that I would later come to find out was a state runner-up. And he proceeded to clean my clock for about, I think I lasted a minute and a half. I didn't last the whole first period, but he just beat, I mean, I get maybe he was trying some new moves. Honestly, don't know. But because I didn't know, I knew very, very little. But I didn't, I didn't just lay there. I fought back and I struggled. I tried to do what I knew. And I remember looking over at coach at one time and he was laughing at me. I guess because I probably looked so pathetic out there. What a loser, right? But in that match, when I came off the match, when I came off the mat, coach was kind of laughing and shaking his head. I said, "What'll I do? What'll I do, coach?" He said, "Don't worry about it. Just keep trying." And then, I found out the guy that was actually a little bit one of his longer matches. The fact that I'd lasted a minute and a half really didn't say anything to my skill. I think it just had to the fact that I took up space and I was flopping around a lot and just made it more difficult for him to put me in a pinning combination. But that was kind of the symptom of the entire first year. I think my first year, first season, I might have won 4 or 5 matches. It wasn't a lot. And yeah, so it was rough. And if you've ever wrestled, it's one-on-one, right? So if you lose, it's because you lost. It's not because you can't blame it on somebody else. You can't blame it on your teammate missing a block. You can't blame it on anything other than your own ability or lack of ability. And so I felt pretty down on myself in the sport, but I wanted to keep doing it because it kind of got in my blood. I wanted to keep at it, but it was so difficult. I couldn't beat the guy that was at my weight class on our team for a varsity spot. So the only varsity spots I got were when coach gave me a chance, told him to sit down, gave me a shot. Or if a guy in an upper weight class didn't make weight, he would throw me in to take up space. So then I'm giving up. Back in those days, there really wasn't a limit on how far you could bump somebody up. So yeah, I might be giving up 10 pounds. Throw me into a higher weight class just so I could not give up a forfeit. And then his instructions were, "Hey, just don't get pinned. Don't give up 5, or don't give up 6." So yeah, I mean, a technical fall would be 5 points. A pinfall will be 6 points, so don't give up 6 points. Try not to get tacked. And so, yeah, maybe I lost, but if I lost by points, then it wasn't as bad, right? But I felt bad. I felt defeated. And I'm comparing to that feeling of losing to other situations that I've encountered. You know, I see on Catholic Twitter a lot, and I stayed away from Catholic Twitter as much as I can, but I felt like I kind of needed to come back since I'm recording shows just for the purpose of engaging the community and letting people know that I have a show again. In fact, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Mediocrities Pod. I'm still there, and I'll be there for a while, but oh, it's easy to see why I left, because so much fighting, and we look at Twitter, we look at news, go on your, if you have, you know, neighborhood apps or whatever other social media, it's always people fighting, it's always people scrapping with each other, and I'm taking that same information and applying it to households, to parishes, to the workplace. Everybody is just on edge and we're fighting each other constantly. And I want to encourage you to be a loser. Now, I know the certain signal's going, but I want to encourage you to be a loser. And here's what I mean by that. Whether or not you win an argument is really not that important in the grand scheme of things. If you win an argument and prove your point, even for something like orthodoxy, theology, we're talking about Christianity, you're trying to defend the faith, but in winning the argument, you're a complete butthole, you lost, and not in a good way. You won the argument. You know, you can look and say, my arguments were better, they were superior, I prove them wrong, I soundly defeated their logic or their illogic, whatever. Yeah, you did. But in doing so, you were an ass. If we lose charity, if we lose our witness in being right, in justifying ourselves, in defending our position, we are losing the war. God's not really concerned with these skirmishes. You know why? God doesn't need you to defend him. God doesn't need me to defend him. He asks us what? What does St. Peter say in his letter? Be ready, be instant to give a defense, which, okay, that's where we get our word apologetics, to give a defense for what? For your ideals? No. For the hope that is in you. In other words, that hope that we have in Christ, that joy that we have in Christ, the faith that we profess, that's what we're supposed to profess. That's what we're supposed to put out there. Not our witty arguments. Not the fact that I can make you look foolish. What does that solve? It doesn't solve anything. If at the end of the day, I've proven my point, but you never want to speak to me again. So I'm not saying that we shouldn't explain the faith. And I'm not saying that there aren't things that are worth arguing about, because I think that there are. But I think that the manner in which we carry ourselves every day, the manner in which we speak to other people, our attitude speaks much more and much more loudly than what we're actually saying. When Jesus gives his parable there, talking about the end of time and people being separated and some going to eternal punishment and some going to eternal joy, he never mentions the way that they spoke or what they said. It always has to do with their actions. And all those actions, feeding feeding me when I was hungry, giving me water when I was thirsty, visiting me in prison, clothing me when I was naked, those corporal acts of mercy, those speak louder, and they reveal a heart of service, the heart of a loser, someone who's willing to lose themselves for the sake of someone else, and no other reason than that. I think that's what we're challenged to do. I don't see that on Catholic Twitter. I mean, I do. I see it some. There's some people that I consider to be much more holy than myself that they take a licking and they keep on ticking. To go back to the old watch commercials. People that just give and give and give and give and give, and they don't stop giving. And I've got a few people in my life that I've known throughout my short time on this earth that have lived that example for me. My parents are two of them. That's what I think we're supposed to do. And yeah, people are going to think we're losers. People are going to think that we're fools. People are going to think that we don't have anything good to say, that we can't win an argument, maybe. But I think we heap coals on their head. When everything that we say and everything that we do is from charity and true humility and love. Just kindness. Selflessness. I wonder if we even know how to do that. I have such a hard time doing it. And I'll tell you what, when I whine, which is a lot, when I whine, usually I'm whining about how tired I am. Because I've taken this principle very seriously, especially at home. You know, I'm trying to be a servant to my kids. I'm trying to be a servant to my wife. I'm trying to be a servant at work and just whatever they need. And sometimes that means I don't take care of myself. It means that I don't get rest. I don't sleep. I take everybody else's problems to heart because I want people to be happy. And not just temporally happy, but eternally happy. And so I pray for people. I take their concerns. And so there's always a lot on my mind. There's always a lot on my plate. And I'm not saying that to brag, because there's nothing to brag about. Just saying that it drains me. But I think that's what I'm supposed to do. I think that's part of that strength. You know, how does that relate back to wrestling? Well, something that I didn't realize was happening during all that, all those beatings, is that I was becoming stronger. Stronger to face tougher challenges. Yeah. And that's what it felt like. Felt like Coach was just making me just better enough to get beat again. Well, yeah. But the victories came. And the victories were sweeter because I was able to see how far I'd come. And I was able to help the new guys when they had their own struggles. And they were rough. You know, I could say, hey, you know, I've been in a similar situation and can offer some not really advice, but just here's what I did. So I think that is the challenge. And we read about Jesus. Jesus emptied himself. Emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, right? The incarnation. Jesus took on human flesh and blood. He came and he gave everything. You know, that episode of The Chosen where Jesus is like healing people and talking to people. And he goes all day and all night. And the disciples are all hacked off. And they're sitting there arguing and fighting. And then Jesus walks in. And he's just exhausted. He's just beat. Because he gave everything. He left it all out there. That's what we're called to do. And I don't want to do it all the time. And I bet you have struggles with it too. But that is what we're supposed to do. To be a loser. To give it all up. To lay our lives down for the sake of somebody else and to to literally sacrifice ourselves for no other reason than their good. Whether we get anything out of it or not. In fact, not expecting to get anything from it. But just laying our lives down. And that's what I need to do as a dad. That's what I need to do as a husband. That's what I need to do as a worker. And get the work done, whatever that work might be. And that's difficult. And I think the part that I've been struggling with the most is where to find the rest, you know? I don't think there is rest. I think God gives us the rest that we need. The more I read about the Desert Fathers, I'm reading about St. John Cassian, you know, and guys like him live such austere lives. I mean, he lived on very little sleep, very little food. But the rule that he created for what we would consider monastic living was not, he was easier on other people than he was on himself. You know? And I'm looking at the lack of sleep and the lack of food and the things, and I want comfort. I want rest. I want ease. That's what I want. That's not what I'm supposed to have. I need to give everything and leave everything, like on the wrestling, to leave everything on the mat, to have to get dragged off that mat, to crawl into bed exhausted, maybe just mentally exhausted, but to do all the things that are on my plate, whether that's writing a paper for a class or finishing some work tasks and try to get stuff done. It does mean that I need to be smarter about how I manage my time. It does mean that I need to budget time well and do things in balance. And that doesn't mean being stupid, right? But it does mean being willing to put others first. And I think if I do that in Twitter, then I spend more time reading other people's posts and responding to them. Not to show that I have something witty to say, but just to maybe to be there to encourage, or maybe not even to comment at all. Maybe just click that little heart, just a like, just to say, that was beneficial to my day. I thank you and I appreciate you. And then when it comes time to help out around the house, you help out around the house or whatever. It's making us stronger. It's like going through calisthenics with a good coach, a good trainer, and you don't think you can do any more, and your coach pushes you, your trainer pushes you, you realize you can do some more. You realize you're not as weak as you thought you were. All this time that you've been getting tossed here and there and laying your life down for somebody else is making you stronger. Yeah, sometimes it's making you stronger because something bigger and better is coming. Yeah, I've seen that. It makes me scared sometimes to think about what I'm getting prepared for. The more I learn this discipline of self-sacrifice, you know, but that's not the point. The point is service and doing it in love. And that's the part I really struggle with. I mean, I'll serve, but sometimes I serve and I do so begrudgingly. I got to work on my attitude. You know, if you're praying for Mediocrates, pray for his attitude. My attitude sometimes sucks. But I'm floored by this. I'm seeing it everywhere I go. I see it on Twitter. I see it when I'm reading devotions. I see it when I'm reading through the Liturgy of the Hours. It's a complete and utter trust in God to provide everything that I need and to be my strength, to be my protection. So it's not me. I am not my own protection. I'm not my strength. The strength that I can pull out of myself is so limited, it's not even funny. My strength comes from God. Your strength comes from God. It comes from the Spirit that He puts in us, that the Holy Trinity living inside of us. We fuel our spiritual life by receiving Christ through the sacraments, His grace, most especially in the Eucharist. And He gives us the ability to choose what's right. That's what real freedom is. So how often am I choosing that? And how often am I saying, you know, I think I'd rather just kind of do it this way, the way that makes it easier on me. Maybe it's not helping somebody else as much. I gotta cut that crap out, dude. So, you know, every time I do these shows, I sound so preachy, but I realize I'm just really, it's still self, you want to call it self-therapy? I'm really preaching at myself. And if you are in a similar boat, yeah, I guess I am preaching at you, but it's you and me both, dude. So if you're struggling with serving others, and you might be, because it's pretty common, or if you're convinced that you always got to have the last word, if you're convinced that you always have to be right, I want to encourage you a couple of things. A couple of things that have been beneficial to me. It may be worth looking into for yourself. The first one is the litany of humility. You pray that litany of humility, you can't help but rethink your actions and your attitudes, right? And the second thing is putting it into practice, giving everyone the benefit of a doubt, listening before you speak, smiling before you frown, which is hard, you know, for especially for someone who struggles like me with some things. But trying to encourage before we discourage, trying to find an area of agreement in a conversation before we jump on the thing that we disagree with. I'm probably rambling to you, but I have to keep reminding myself of that. Service first, self last. And I think God will give us the strength that we need to do everything that is given for us to do. All the opportunities he has given us the strength to choose service and love in every one of them. It's there. The energy's there. We just got to push through that mental block, push through that pride, that thing that wants to say, no, me, look at me. No, I got to push through that. Got to push through that and get to the part where it's, how can I help you? And to try to do it with a good attitude. You know, I can do all the great things in the world, but St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, if I do all these great things, but I don't have love, it's nothing. So that's my practical advice. I'm hoping to take it. I'm trying to take it myself. Pray for me. Pray for Mediocrities. This is not a one-time thing. This is not a, oh, let's, yeah, check this and move on. This is an everyday for the rest of my life thing. I need to grow in service. We all do. Grow in charity and love. Grow in the practice of our faith. And the practice of our faith is not hateful. You know, the last episode, go back and listen to it. All those ways that, all those things that divide us, all the sins of the flesh that we practice, they all revolve around seeking power or pleasure for ourselves. It doesn't satisfy. Even if you think you totally burned somebody on Twitter with your witty banter, yeah, good for you, buddy. But now everybody thinks you're a jerk. Being a jerk is not part of the litany of humility. Not defending yourself when people say that you're a jerk is part of the litany of humility. Yeah. Let's work on that. I hope that you will. And I'm just going to assume that somebody listening to my voice right now is struggling with service and not wanting to be a loser as seen by the world. But I think we're called to be losers. I think we're called to be considered fools for the case of Christ. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Right? Be a fool for Christ. Who cares what they think? Be approved by Jesus Christ. Serve other people. Do what he did. That's what we got to do. So you pray for me. I'm going to pray for you. And we're going to be service. And we're going to serve the crap out of this world. I hope you will. And I hope to hear from you. So do write me mediocritiespodcast@outlook.com. I hope to hear from you. Hope that you're having a good day. And know that if you're having a really bad day, that I'm praying for you. Pray that it'll get better. And that rest and the comfort and the peace that you want, that you'll be able to find it in Christ. Not in a pretend way, not in a Pollyanna way, but in a true grace-filled way that he wants to give to you. And trust in knowing that you're doing what he wants you to do. So take care, and I will catch you on the next episode.